Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi washabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alihi washabiki ya Nurullah.
The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have said that Allah sends 10 mercies upon the one who recites salat upon me once, and an angel is appointed to convey that salat to me. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, in our life, we try to double up things. We try to do many things at the same time. You know, our life is fast track nowadays. You know, I know it's illegal to use your mobile phone when you're driving, but people do because they want to get things done. People are trying to double task and triple task. But as Muslims, one of the things that we can do, no matter what job we've got, unless we are speaking, unless we're a salesman, unless we're on the phone all the time, is no matter what your job is, no matter what your occupation is, no matter what keeps you busy, you can always use that time in sending durood e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we are waiting sometimes, we're waiting for a bus, we're waiting for a customer, we're waiting to see the doctor, we're waiting to see all these individuals. And that waiting time should never be wasted time. And one of the best ways of utilizing this time is sending durood e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows that one extra durood e pak that we write side today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, there is a famous king and he's called Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah ta'ala. And he was a scholar of Islam as well, and he was also an ardent worshipper. He would offer salah, keep fast, and he would constantly recite the Quran, spending his entire life in accordance with Islamic teachings. He also, one of the qualities that he had is, he had a real immense love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a slave called Ayaz, and his son, the slave of the son, was called Muhammad. Now Sultan Muhammad Ghaznavi would always address him by his name. One day, the king did not do this. Instead of saying Muhammad, calling upon this young child, instead of calling him Muhammad, he addressed the boy by saying, O son of Ayaz, O son of Ayaz. Hearing this, Ayaz, he got worried, thinking that maybe my son's done something wrong. So he went to see the king and said, what has my son done wrong that today you have not called him by his name Muhammad, you've called him O son of Ayaz? And the king said to him that out of respect for the name of Muhammad, I did not say his name, I did not say the name Muhammad. Why? Because I was not in a state of wudu. I was not in a state of wudu. And for me to mention that name without a state of wonder, I felt as if it was disrespect. Now remember this, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of the channel. It is not fard upon us. It is not fard upon us to be in a state of wuzu to mention the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is no Islamic ruling that said there is blessings in it. But out of respect, out of love, the pious predecessors would show this love by being in a state of wuzu whenever they mentioned the name. It is stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has more than 1,000 names. Ibn Faris, a linguist and a scholar, he said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over 2,000 names, and each of them illustrates a part of his biography and his blessings as well. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he also sheds light on this topic, and he said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has two personal names. His name is Ahmad in the previous divine books and Muhammad in the Quran. And in terms of names which correlate to his qualities and attributes, there are immense. There's an incident I want to relate to you that shows to you the respect. Because as Muslims, we all know that we should respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Muslims, we all show that we should love him, but how? It's easy to say, yes, we should respect him. It's easy to say, yes, we should love him, but how should we do it? In the month of Zulqa'dah, in the 6th year after Hijrah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the state of Ihram. And they were intending to perform the Umrah, and they departed towards Makkah with 1,400 companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam suspected that the disbelievers of Makkah would try to prevent the Muslims from performing the Umrah. And so what happened was, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached a place called Usfan, a person sent by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to them that the people of Makkah were gathering an army. They were gathering an army and they were going to try and stop the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all his companions, they went a different route and they came to a place called Hudaybiyah. Now, reaching this place, they found that the disbelievers had prepared an army against the Muslims. Now, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were in a state of ihram. They were not ready for a battle. They did not come to fight. They came to perform the Umrah. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent somebody forward to the Quraysh to discuss with them, to come to some sort of terms of an agreement, because they were not in a state to go into battle. And Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, he went there. He went to Makkah to meet with the people of Quraysh to come up with some sort of terms of agreement when he was there. When he got there, out of respect, because they all knew him. The people of Quraysh knew Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. They all knew him. He was a wealthy person. He was a respected person. So they all welcomed him. And they said to him that since you are here, you might as well perform the Umrah. But they said, no, we will not let the Muslims come in. We will not let the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform the Umrah. Now Sayyidina Uthman Faruqi said, I'm not going to perform the Umrah. I will not perform the Umrah if my Prophet cannot do it before me. Now imagine, you know, sometimes you probably heard this waqia, maybe you've heard it before. Imagine having the opportunity to perform Umrah on your own. Just you and your Rabb. He had the opportunity, but he didn't take it. He didn't take it and he came back. And when he came back, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they met him and they actually congratulated him. They said, oh mashallah, you'll have performed the Umrah whilst you were there. And he said, no. It is not possible for me. And he said, I take an oath by the person who has the power over my soul that if I had stayed in Makkah for one whole year, I would have never performed the Umrah unless the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed it for me. This, my dear Islam brothers and viewers, this is respect. This is love. You know, saying we respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is easy. Saying it is easy. But here we have a companion. He'd gone there. Now, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forbid him and say, no, when you go there, you cannot perform the Umrah. He didn't give him that instruction. So what was stopping him? Imagine you going to Makkah, even today, you had the opportunity, you're in the blessed city of Makkah, you had the opportunity to perform the Umrah, and you don't do it. You don't do it. He didn't do it. Why? Out of respect for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is something that we need to learn. During that treaty, when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place, Sayyidina Urwa bin Mas'ud, at that time he was not a Muslim, he was sent by the disbelievers to do the agreement between them. And he said that, I take an oath by Allah that I've seen many kings. I've seen Caesar, the king of the Romans. I've seen Kisra, the king of Iran. I've seen Najasi, the king of the Aksum kingdom. But I've never ever seen people respect the leader in such a way that they respected the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would cast saliva out of his mouth, his companions would ensure that it came into their palms. They used to collect the saliva of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing wuzu, the companions would rush forward to try and get the droplets of the wuzu and keep that water. This is love. This is respect. And if we look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from then till now, till today, all of the companions, all of the successors, all Islamic scholars, all of the saints of Islam, and every single Muslim have been exhibited a respect and love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the history of Islam. This is not something new. Gatherings like this in which we are showing our love, gatherings like this in which we are showing our respect, they're not new. Respect and love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always been there. Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, we have indeed sent you, O beloved, as an eyewitness, I has a nazar, and a conveyor of glad tidings, and a warner, in order that all people, you believe in Allah, you believe in His Messenger, and you honor and you revere the Messenger, and you should glorify Allah morning and evening. A famous scholar, Qazi Ayaz, he said that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded people. This is a command from Allah. You know, we have the command of Allah that you must pray your salah, you must fast in the month of Ramadan. Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is obligatory upon us to respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that we must respect him. The great jurist Jalaluddin Ahmad Amjadi, he says that the command issued in this verse ordains for us to respect and respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does not only say showing the respect is permissible, but it actually makes it critically necessary upon us. Every Muslim must thus show reverence towards the Prophet and respect him in all permissible ways. The command to respect him is unconditional. No conditions. There is no conditions on this. However, it is shirk and it is kufr to say that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is God or is a son of God, or to say that he possesses some of the attributes of God, and prostrating in front of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not permissible as well. We must differentiate this, and those people that make these differentiations, they are wrong. This verse that I just mentioned to you, iman was mentioned first. The command of showing the respect to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was then issued for the people to worship Allah azza wa jalla. This sequence gives us indication that iman takes precedence over everything. Without iman, the act of showing respect to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not accepted by Allah. Meaning that if you have belief, if you have iman, but you don't respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then your salah, then your zakah, then your hajj, then your fasting in the month of Ramadan are not accepted. Because the first condition is iman, the second condition is respect, and then the third condition is to worship Allah azza wa jalla. So unless we respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unless we love him, we're not going to achieve anything. We're not going to achieve anything in this dunya. Showing respect is an utmost importance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we need to understand this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has said, "Show respect to people." It is part of the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Respect your elders. Respect your elders and respect your young ones as well, even those that are not from us. Respect everybody." This is what our deen teaches us. And one of the beauties of our deen is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his sunnah, with his character, this is what has shone through. If you read the history of Islam, you'll find people that accepted Islam, how did they expect it? Very few people accepted Islam because they read the Quran. Some did. Very few people accepted Islam because they read the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some did. The majority of the people that accepted Islam accepted by looking at you. By looking at you. The person in front of them, the character that shone through, this character that shone through is what people made people accept Islam. And it's their efforts, it's the character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we need to show. So if you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you need to show it. Show it by adopting his character, living your life in accordance to this. And remember this, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Maghrib channel, Shaitan. Shaitan, the accursed one. How did he become accursed? How did he become Shaitan? Because he did not show respect to Sayyidina Adam al-Islam. He lost, he failed. He became the cursed one till eternity. Why? Because he did not show respect. In previous ummats, you were allowed to give sajda to the prophets. In our ummat, it is not allowed, but in previous it was. And when Allah Azza wa Jalla ordered him to show respect to Sayyidina Adam al-Islam, he refused. And that refusal has caused him to be the cursed one. And from then until the day of judgment, he will always be the cursed one. So it's important upon us. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and recall when we ordered the angels to prostrate to Adam al-Islam. So they all did, except for Iblis. He refused, he displayed arrogance, and he became a disbeliever. This verse clearly explains that Shaitan became a disbeliever because he did not respect that Prophet of Allah. He did not respect Sayyidina Adam al-Islam. As a result, we must not be negligent in showing respect to all of the prophets as well. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once with some companions, a Muhajirin and the Ansar. In the meantime, a camel came. A camel came, and the camel actually made sajda before him. The camel made sajda before him. And the companion said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it appears today that the animals are ahead of us. The animals that can do those things that we cannot do. You know, you've stopped us from doing it, but the animals can do it." And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Worship Allah and respect your brother. Worship Allah and respect your brother. If I was to command anyone to prostrate before other than Allah, I would certainly have commanded women to prostrate before their husbands." Meaning, it is not permissible for us to do sajda before anybody. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I was going to make anything permissible, I would have made our sisters do sajda before their husbands. But that is not permissible as well. This is telling us what our deen of Islam is. After iman, respect of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is everything. In Bukhari Shariat, which is a book written by Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullah, it states, respecting the Messenger of Allah is part of iman, as well as being a pillar of iman. After iman, actions of respect and reverence for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hold higher importance than every fard as well. The significance of can be gauged from this hadith that describes an event which occurred when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from the Battle of Khaybar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming back from the Battle of Khaybar, he performed his Salatul Asr. He performed his Salatul Asr, and then he put his blessed head on the lap of Sayyidina Ali. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he put his blessed lap there, and he closed his eyes. Now Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he had not read his Salatul Asr. The sun was setting. Now we all know that Salah is fard. No excuses. No excuses for missing your Salah. But Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he's here. He's got the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his lap. He's resting. He had two options. Number one, wake up the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, "I want to read my namaz. Can you please get out of the way and let me read my namaz?" Number two, stay there. What did he do? He stayed there. And the sun set. So now he's missed his salah. He's missed his salah. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened his eyes, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali said to him, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of your respect, out of your love, I didn't feel it was right for me to wake you up. I didn't feel it was good for me to wake you up in that state. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell him off. Didn't say to him, do you not realize that salah is fard upon you? Why did you not wake me up? This is not something that we can do, by the way. Did not say to him, why did you not wake me up? He didn't say this. Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the sun to go back. The sun went back. The sun went back and Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he performed his salah. But the important part here is the respect that Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu showed the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is respect. And with us, when it comes to us, we show our respect, but it's just lip service. I feel that our respect is lip service. It's not true respect. It's not true love. And we'll talk about this as well, inshallah. It is also narrated in Bukhari Shariat, the respecting the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of iman, as well as it being a pillar. After iman, actions of respect and reverence for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hold higher importance than even your fard acts. So unless you respect the Prophet, unless you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none of your ibadat will be accepted. None of your acts will be accepted. And we are told that having that love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman. A lot of people ask these questions regarding kissing the thumbs. Allama Shami quotes this hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I shall lead whoever kisses the nails of his thumbs after hearing Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah during the azan, and I shall include him in the rows of paradise." So it's acceptable to kiss your thumbs. Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, he also says that there are three occasions, very important for all of us. Many of us have got this habit of kissing the thumbs when we hear the name of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are three occasions when you should not do this. Sayyidina Ala Hazrat said, when the khutbah is happening, the Jummah khutbah, don't kiss your thumbs. When the Quran is being recited, don't kiss your thumbs. And also when you are performing your salah, do not kiss your thumbs as well. It is also a mind of respect that people give the child the name Muhammad. We should give our children the name Muhammad. Give them that name Muhammad, but also give them another name to call them by. Because if you're called from, say, example, mashallah, we have Dr. Sahib here, Muhammad Zeeshan. Now, when you are with your children, sometimes you get angry. And when you get angry, you don't want to call you out of, in a state of anger, use the word Muhammad. So people say that my child is called Muhammad, but I use the name Zeeshan when I call him. So this is something that the acts of the Muslims should do, that they should give the name Muhammad to this. In the same way, when we hear the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should show respect. Whenever you hear the hadith, we should show respect. There are scholars of the past. There are scholars of the past that when somebody came to them and asked them for a masala, for an issue, they would send somebody out and they would say to them that, has the person come for a fiqh problem, or has the person come to hear hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And when they heard that the person wants to hear a hadith, then they would change their clothes. They would have a ghusl, they would have a special chair put out, and they would put perfume on just to relate a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now again, it doesn't say in Shariat that to mention a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you need to be in the state of a ghusl. It does not say that you have to have new clothes on. It does not say that you have to wear ithr when you're relating this hadith. But the scholars of the past, Whenever they got this opportunity, they showed that respect. But where do we stand? Where do we stand when it comes to this? Where is our situation? I can quote to you all day hadiths. I can quote you to all day waqis about showing respect and love for the Prophet of Allah SWT. But where do we stand? A pious person was asked the question, that when will I become a mu'min? When will I become a mu'min? And the pious person said that you will become a mu'min when you love Allah. You will become a true believer when you love Allah. Next question. How do I know that I love Allah? It's easy to say it. I love Allah. How do I know? The pious person said that you will love Allah when you love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. How do I know that I love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now we all make this claim. We all make this claim that we are Ashiq Rasul. We all make this claim that we love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how do we know? What is the criterion that you can measure yourself? How can you say that you love Allah? How can you say that you love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The pious person said that you will love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you obey his orders, when you follow his sunnah, when you follow in his footsteps, when you love the ones who love him and hate the ones who hate him. Now the question is, do we love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if we look at the companions of the love that they showed, do we love him? Saying it is easy. I could say I love you. And the example somebody gave me once, he said, mashallah, if some child made a claim that I love my mother, he makes a claim that he loves my mother, he writes poetry in praise of his mother, he gets badges that says I love my mother, he has a flag and on the flag it says I love my mother, he has stickers on the car and it says I love my mother, but when that same mother says to his son, beta, can you take the rubbish out? And the son says, no, I'm too busy. When that same mother says to the son, beta, can you go here for me and do this job for me? And the son says, no, I'm too busy. When that same mother says, beta, don't do this, don't go here, don't go there. And the son says, my life, my rules, let me do what I want. Would you say that that son really loves his mother? No. Nobody will say that that person loves his mother. So the question is, do we love? Do we follow? Saying it is easy, but we need to make that change inside our lives. To love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to make that change inside our lives to follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what has happened is, unfortunately, Muslims have become part-time Muslims. For majority of us, our deen has become a hobby. You know, people when they go to the gym, they get a gym card and they go to the gym, they go once, they go twice, they go three times and then they stop going. Yeah. I had a sports car in my mother's yard and it was my hobby. I was going to restore the sports car, but I never got time. I did a little bit of work on it, but I never got time. It was my hobby. Unfortunately, our deen has become like that. When we've got time, we'll read the salah. When we've got time, we'll read the Quran. When we've got time, we'll go to the masjid. Only when we've got time. Our deen is not like that. Your deen is not your hobby. Your deen is your life. Loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by coming to a gathering like this, we show our love. By going on a jalus, we show our love. By having a milad gathering at our house, we show our love. But this is not it. Loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not something that we just do for 1 month in the year. Loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not something that we just do for one night in the year. Loving, respecting and following the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that we need to do all of our lives. We need to make that change in our life. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've mentioned this many times on Madri channel. He said, I leave you two things. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I leave you two things, the Quran and my way. The Quran and my way. And he said, whoever follows them will never go astray. When it comes to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where are we? What do we know about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us, please don't raise your hands, but how many of us in this room today, how many of those people that are watching Madri channel have actually read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us have read a seerah of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because we know to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman. But how? Look at the companions. How did they love? How did they show the respect? How many of us are aware of this? Unfortunately today we don't have that knowledge. Even though mashallah we have a lot of adults here, we have some youngsters here today. If I was to ask the people of this room today, to name me 10 football players, we could probably do it. Okay, maybe those, because we come from Pakistan or India, 10 cricket players, we could do it. If I was to say to you, name 10 politicians, you could probably do it. If I was to say to you, astaghfirullah, even name me 10 actors, 10 actresses, 10 singers, we could probably do it. But how many of us, as Muslims, could name the Ashra Mubashra? Those 10 companions were guaranteed paradise. How many of us could do that? How many of us could actually name any 10 companions? How many of us could name 10 prophets of Allah? We say we are Muslims, but where is our knowledge of the deen? Unfortunately today, we know more about cricket than we know about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know more about politics than we know about the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where are we going? Where are we going if we continue like this? If we live our life like this, where are we going? Now, I mean, the Republic of Ireland now, I don't know the motorway is here. Otherwise, I'll give you an example. I think N5 motorway, I think there's an N5 motorway. Now, when you're on the N5 motorway, depending on which direction you are going, you know where you're going to go. If I keep on going this way, I'll end up in Dublin. If I keep on going that way, I'll end up in Cork. When you look at which direction you are going, you can say that this is where I'm going to end up. In our lives, the way that we are living our lives today, where are we going to end up? Which direction are you heading in? Which direction is your life going in? What is going to happen to you if you continue living your life like this? Do you not think that the angel of death is not going to come to you? The angel of death will come to all of us. When is the angel of death going to come? When is that time going to come? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked a question. A Bedouin came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when is the day of judgment? Now for me and you, the day of judgment is literally when we pass away. When is that going to happen? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, normally when he was asked a question, he gave an answer. But today, instead of giving an answer, he gave another question. He said, rather than me tell you when the day of judgment is going to be, you tell me, what have you prepared for it? What have you prepared for the day of judgment? And the Bedouin said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've not prepared a lot. I've not done a lot. But I love Allah and I love His Rasul. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be with those that you love. You'll be with those that you love. My question to all of you is that we come here today. We come here to show our love. But love is not just for today. Love is not just for this week. Love is not just for this month. And we need to change our lives. We are living in a country. You are living in the Republic of Ireland. You're staying here. And one of the things that you must all be aware of is that your iman is at risk. Your children's iman is at risk. Your future generation's iman is at risk. Because we're living in a country where basically people don't want us to be, you know, people are being a faithless society. Our children are going to schools where they're being taught things that have become faithless. Now, I sat down with the Mufti and I said, Mufti Saab, this is the problem that's happening in the UK. I mentioned UK. And just to illustrate to the people that are here today, in America today, 25% of people that are born as Muslims, 25% of people that are born as Muslims, when they grow up, they say, I'm not a Muslim. This is a fact today. In France, 30%. In UK, I've only crossed two reports. One report says 10%, one report says 15%. In Ireland, I don't have any data. I don't have any data. But in Ireland, you've not been vaccinated to stop you from this illness. This illness is everywhere. I sat with Mufti Saab and I said, Mufti Saab, this is the problem. He said to me, go away, find out the reasons why people are leaving Islam. So I went away, found out the reasons. I came back to Mufti Saab and I said, Mufti Saab, these are the reasons. These are the main reasons. He said to me, okay, now go and find the cures. How are you going to solve these problems? I said, okay, so I went away, came back. And I sat with Mufti Saab and I said, Mufti Saab, these are the cures I think, in my mind. He said to me, put all that to one side and do one thing. Just do one thing. If you do this special tablet that I give to you, this special medicine that I give you, you give this, it'll cover all of them 15 cures. I said, what is that? He said, put the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in people's hearts. And I said, Mufti Saab, how is that going to protect people? I said to him, Mufti Saab, loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but how is it going to protect people? He said, anybody who truly loves the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi, they will not be willing to listen to anything against them. If you want to protect the iman of your children, you must instill the love inside them. These gatherings, why are they here? to put the love in the children. Now, I know a lot of people are being disturbed at the moment because the children are making noise and everything. But these children are here and are a blessing for us. We should be happy that these children are here today. Maybe you're thinking, oh, the children are making noise, we're getting disturbed. We're not getting disturbed. We're happy that these children are here. Children come to these gatherings, they fall asleep in these gatherings. Let them fall asleep in these gatherings. But they grow up knowing that this is where I need to be. This is my place. The children need to understand this. So at this young age, Mubarak to all of those people that brought your children here. Don't be embarrassed and think, oh, my children's making a lot of noise. They're making all this noise. Now people are being disturbed. So what? Let them be disturbed. But let them children know that I grow up in a house where we show the love of the Prophet of Allah. I grow up in a house where we show the respect of the Prophet of Allah. And this is something that we need to install in our children. Bring them to these gatherings. Hold these Milad gatherings. These Naat that took place before the Bayan. Why are these Naat there? The purpose of a Naat is to put love in the Prophet of Allah in our hearts. So my dear Islamic brothers, viewers on the channel, sisters that are listening behind Parda, please understand your responsibility. Do you know, as brothers that are here today, I'm talking to the brothers now, that on the day of judgment, the brothers will be questioning, is your responsibility for the upbringing of your children? Yes, if you get your wives to help you, to help them give them the tarbiyah, but on the day of judgment, you will be questioned. Each and every one of you will be questioned. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, save yourselves and your family from that fire whose fuel is stones and men. Your responsibility. You cannot blame the Imam Sahib, you cannot blame the Qari Sahib, you cannot blame the teacher. It is your responsibility to save your children, to save your family. You'll be questioned. You'll not be questioned how big a koti you made in Kashmir. You'll not be questioned about any of them things. You'll not be questioned about how big a house you had or bigger car you had. You'll not be questioned about any of those things. You'll be questioned about how you saved your iman and saved your family's iman. And the question that I have to you today is, what are you doing about it? What are you doing to save your iman? Alhamdulillah, this center is here in Cork. Is this enough? Is this enough to protect our iman? Alhamdulillah, it's a start. But so much more needs to be done. Because if you're not concerned about your iman, if you're not concerned about your children's iman, the pious people have said that the person's iman is greatest at risk of that person who's not concerned. We should all be concerned. I'm concerned. You should be concerned. These small children that are here today, they're not my children. They're not my children, but they are my children. They are my children. And I say to myself that these are my children is my responsibility. It is your responsibility, my responsibility and your responsibility to put in place those things that can protect the iman and the iman of future generations. You came here to earn money. Either maybe you didn't come here or your fathers came here. They came here. They came to the UK, they came to Ireland, they came here for a better life. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a better life. But if that better life costs you, and the price that you pay is your children, the price that you pay is the iman of your children, it's not worth anything. Success in this dunya is not in wealth. Success in this dunya is dying with iman. That is the successful one. So you need to be all aware of this. You should be scared. My job is to scare you. On the day of judgment, I can say that, Ya Allah, I came to Ireland. Ya Allah, I went to Cork. I spoke to the brothers there. I told them, look, do whatever it takes to protect your iman. I did my job. On the day of judgment, what will your response be? On the day of judgment, what will you say to Allah when Allah says to you, what did you do to protect your iman? What did you do to protect the iman of the people around you? It is our responsibility. And unfortunately, children are leaving the deen of Islam. It is our responsibility to protect them. Our responsibility to bring it back to them. And one of the best ways of doing that is putting the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their hearts. Teach them the love. Teach them the seer of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, nowadays we get books and we tell our children stories before we go to sleep. Why are we not telling them the stories of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Tell them stories of the prophets of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell them these stories to instill the love inside them, to instill the knowledge inside them. And the reason why we're not doing it is because we don't know ourselves. We don't know ourselves. Like I said early on, how many of us have read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One request I make to all of you. On the website of Dawat Islami, www.dawatislami.net, there are many Seerat al-Rasul books. There's a beautiful biography of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think I've got a copy of it. It's only about that thick. So it's only about 30-40 pages. Make an intention. I don't know if it'll be available here. I doubt it'll be available here. But if not, download it completely free of charge and read it. We should all become aware of who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. It is important for our iman to do this. And even if you have these doubts, I'll give you one final waqi I'll give to you now and I'll finish. As Muslims, we all know that when we die, when we enter the dark and lonely grave, we're going to get three questions asked. You've probably heard this many, many times. Three questions will be asked. Man Rabbuka, who is your Lord? Ma Deenuka, what is my Deen? And the third question you'll be asked is, what did you say about this person? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be presented to you. What did you say about this person? Just think about it for a moment. You've heard this many times. The questions are being asked. Everybody's there on the plains of Arafat on the Day of Judgment. Man Rabbuka, who is your Lord? My Lord is Allah. Okay? So all those people that believe in one creator, they pass. Yes? Pass. Rest failed. No need to go to the second question. They all pass. So amongst those people, you've got those people that are Muslims, and you've also got those people who believe in one creator. Second question. Ma deenuka. What is your deen? So now all of a sudden, all those people that are Muslims, they pass. And those that are not Muslims fail. So now what are we left with? All the Muslims. Why do we need a third question? Why do we need a third question? All the Muslims are on one side. Why do we need a third question? The third question is there because we need to know what our aqeed, our beliefs are with regards to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is important that we have the right beliefs. It is important that we have the right respect. It is important that we have the right love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I request you all, please, recite Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1500 times if possible. You know, in the Nek Amal, which is a booklet that Amir al-Sunnah has given us, in that he instructs and guides us to recite Durud-e Pak 313 times. 313 times. In my hometown, in England, near Manchester, there was a sister, and she said that she saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her dreams. So all the sisters went there, trying to find out what she had done. Do you read the Hajjah? Do you read Quran? Do you read the Shah? No, I don't do anything. I don't do anything. I don't do anything. She said, but I fill in the Nek Amal. I fill in the pious deed booklet. So they said, okay, which one do you do? So they opened the book and, do you do this one? Do this one? Yeah. And when it came to the Nek Amal, the pious deeds that said, that do you recite Durud e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 313 times? She said, yes, I recite 3,313 times every single day. She had misread it. She had misread it. But by misreading it, by misreading that, the blessing that she received, she said, I quickly read it and it said 3,313. I read 3,330 times every single day. Allah knows best. Allah knows best, but the sisters were convinced that because of that amal, because of that action, she was blessed with seeing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should make it part of our daily routine. We should not waste time. We all travel. Literally every one of you travels. Today you've all come in your cars. I guarantee that if you leave here today, and when you get in your car, no matter how close you are to here, the brother's house that I came to was only 5 minutes away. But I know if I had spent them 5 minutes in reciting Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, I guarantee you it would have been a minimum of 313 times. When you leave here today, leave here with the intention that from the moment I leave here to the moment I get home, I'll recite Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me and you the tawfiq to learn to respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Me and you the tawfiq to learn to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Me and you the tawfiq to learn to follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said at the beginning, that how do you know that you love the Prophet of Allah? When you follow him, when you observe his sunnah, when you love the people who love him and hate the people who hate him. If we live our life like that, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, we will be successful on the Day of Judgment. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
For you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say.